Helen Hayes, the actress, tells the following story in her autobiography. It was Thanksgiving Day, and she was cooking her first turkey dinner for her family. Before serving it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son, James, "Now, I know this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. If it isn't any good, I don't want anybody to say a word. We'll just get up from the table without comment and go out to a restaurant to eat." Then she returned to the kitchen. When she entered the dining room bearing the turkey, she found her husband and son seated at the table with their hats and coats on. Obviously, they didn't have much faith in her ability to cook a turkey. At times, we are like that with regard to God. We have problems, we pray to God for help, and then we sit back and expect the worst to happen. We don't have much faith in Him. We don't really trust Him. This deplorable state of affairs shouldn't really be surprising. After all, in this world we live in, we're surrounded by atheistic secular humanism. For while the church was asleep at the wheel of state in the 1950s and 60s, atheistic, occultic, secular humanists managed to gain the upper hand in American society. The more or less wholesome society we had then was squandered and frittered away. Hardly anybody noticed. While the Supreme Court decisions outlawing prayer and Bible reading in schools should have rung alarm bells all throughout the land, most churches were too busy congratulating themselves on record levels of church attendance, thinking somehow nothing could stop the good times. Little more than charitable social clubs, most churches had become. Expressions of the life-changing power of the gospel were few and far between. So, God intervened, igniting the charismatic renewal among mainline Protestants and Catholics, the Jesus movement among young countercultural hippies. Multiple thousands of people were saved and received eternal life. But, acclimated to the way church had been conducting itself for many decades, few felt the need to address the cultural rot that was slowly destroying the Judeo-Christian values and mindset that had held sway in America for most of its history. Many of us can probably remember times way back when expressions of Christian faith were still acceptable, even welcomed, in society at large. I remember as a child my mother singing Christian hymns and songs being played on the radio. This was long before the advent of specifically Christian radio stations and TV networks. That any public event would, as a matter of course, be opened with prayer was just the way things were done. Even if not everyone actually believed, people knew that they at least had to acknowledge others' faith in order to get along in society. But with the Supreme Court decisions being overlooked, the decision in 1973 recognizing a right to abortion should have taken the entire Christian edifice in America to its core. It did not. A few did awaken, and the pro-life movement was born, raised up by God Himself. Thanks be to God that the movement has grown and matured over the half century since, that it has awakened many, even outside the church, of the grave danger of our country sliding into total apostasy. The result would be a complete upheaval of a country based on the freedom in Christ, transforming into a despotic, fascist, communistic state where our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, is so twisted and mangled that everything is turned upside down. All our freedoms would be criminalized. All expressions of true biblical Judeo-Christian faith would be punished. The land of the free and home of the brave would become the land of the slaves and home of the cowards. And as long as free internet entertainment, food rations, housing vouchers, and free medical care kept coming, people would be satisfied. What a wonderful life. Not.
Yeah.
Over recent decades, society as a whole, and Christians in particular, have been taken in by the promises, pronouncements, and prognostications of the devil. His old lure of the utopia made possible by more and more knowledge is continually dangled in front of us, like the proverbial carrot on a stick in front of a donkey. Also, Satan continued to lead us all off the cliff into the depths of an eternal fiery hell. As much as he himself will be tormented by that place of judgment, he can cackle away at how many people fell for his schemes. He can point to all those who fell under his spell, showing them off to God as all those who rejected the God who made them, causing untold pain and anguish to God's tender heart of love. Even too many in the church have bought into the devil's lies. Sometimes we think we need to get along to get along. We need to keep the peace, that doing so means we're peacemakers. Bad mistake. Making peace with evil results in only greater violence wreaked upon people's bodies, souls, and spirits. Yet many, sitting in the comfort and calm of their living rooms around the world, continue to insist that Israel needs to make room for a Palestinian state, for doing so supposedly would bring peace. Have people not seen what happened on October 7, 2023 in southern Israel? What does God have to do to get people's attention? Fortunately, at least a supermajority of the Israelis have now been awakened and no longer support a two-state solution. The devil is running rampant to and fro over the world, spewing his lies and deception everywhere he goes, alternately revealing himself to those who think he's cool and hiding himself from those who want to think that mankind is master of its own fate and destiny. His goals remain the same: distract people from the truth, from the realization of the truth of God, the very truth that will set people free, so they end up enslaving themselves, binding their minds to drug-addled impossible fantasies that lead inevitably to eternal death, destruction, and gnashing of teeth. The devil wants us to put our trust in anything and everything that is not God. Ideally, he'll just love it if we put our trust in ourselves. Why? Aren't we supposed to take charge of our own lives? Aren't we supposed to follow our hearts? Trust our hearts? Don't we hear pontificating something along those lines practically every day? We just have to realize our own dreams. For nothing is impossible for us if we but believe in ourselves. Lies, 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 nothing but lies. For what did we just read in Jeremiah 17:9? There is nothing more deceitful than the heart of man. Who can understand it? Man's heart is sick, in need of healing. If the devil can simply get us to look to ourselves, to our own hearts, well, his job is done. He won't have to lift another finger. Our hearts will lead us directly to the abyss. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Straight to hell's jail. It's a one-way ticket. No returns. God has given us all we need to bypass the broad and beautiful highways and byways that all lead to hell. It's all right here in his word. But do we really trust it? Have we fallen for the devil's suggestions that what we do in our lives don't really matter? That because God is a forgiving God, he'll forgive us in the end and save us anyway? That we'll all go to heaven someday? No, we don't need to be looking toward Savior Jesus each and every day. He is merciful, so we are all okay. Should I say that word again? That's all poppycock. So what did our Lord teach us? How about we look again at the gospel as recorded in Luke 6 with some commentary. How enriched you become when you are a beggar, for you will experience the reality of God's kingdom. Doesn't the world tell us that the richer we are, the better? Lord Jesus said next, how filled you become when you are consumed with hunger and desire for righteousness, for you will be completely satisfied. How content you become when you weep with complete brokenness, relying entirely on Him, for you will laugh with unrestrained joy. How favored you become when you are hated, excommunicated, or slandered by the world, or when your name is spoken of as evil because of your love for me, the Son of Man. I promise you that as you experience these things, you will celebrate and dance with overflowing joy, and the heavenly reward of your faith will be abundant because you are being treated the same way as your forefathers, the prophets. Meaning, if we are full of faith, trusting only in Jesus, we become the ancient prophets' successors. But for those who trust the world and the devil and thereby reject God, Lord Jesus reveals our actual destiny. But what sorrows await those of you who are rich in this life only, for you have already received all the comfort you'll ever get. What sorrows await those of you who are content with yourselves, for hunger and emptiness will come to you. What sorrows await those of you who laugh now, having received all your joy in this life only, for grief and wailing will come to you. What sorrows await those of you who are always honored and lauded by others, for that's how your forefathers treated every false prophet. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust and obey only Him. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are ultimately and totally and completely trustworthy. We put our faith in anything but you at our inevitable peril. Keep us, dear Spirit, our eyes fixed on the Lord, that we may live triumphantly in this life, regardless of what it throws at us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we shine with your Spirit within us, that all may see the hope we have in you, the hope and certainty of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.